Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. And remember, we are the resistance. This is where we fight for truth. This is where we awaken purpose. This is where we call men and women to live out their God-given identity with clarity, with courage, with conviction. It's about your why. You know, why are we looking for our why? Because that's something that we want to help you find, because it's going to help you live your life to the full. I mean, to the absolute limits. When you find that why, wow, it's the most powerful force there is. You know, today's episode is going to be for the ones who are in that waiting room. You know, the ones who are tired of hearing, you know, the not yets from God. You know, when your heart is screaming, I know, I want it right now. Boy, I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I have a lot in my lifetime. It's like, God, why are we in this waiting room here? I mean, I want to get things moving forward. Don't you want what I want? Yeah, he does. But he also wants to shape you to make sure that you are going to be able to do this to your best. So today's stories, they are about longing. It's about spiritual leadership. It's about trust. It's about the tension between, you know, that desire we just talked about and wisdom, discernment. And I'm hoping by the end, you know, I think you're going to discover that the waiting isn't punishment, you know, like God's so frustrated with you that he's just, you know, kind of thrown in the towel. He's given up. No, the waiting is God's preparation. He's giving you what you need so that you have what it takes. And we've talked about that. You know, one of our biggest questions, you know, do I have what it takes? You know, am I enough? A few podcasts ago, I told you about a storm that had ripped through our backyard. It was a tornado. We're all down in the crawl space. I mean, it was pretty scary. And I had gone out to the front porch, you know, to kind of check on the storm, and the big swirling of the tornado was now above us, and you could see it in the video that I have of this thing spinning. I heard the tree come down in the backyard, hit stuff, and I took off, got in the crawl space with everybody. But when it actually landed, you know, when we came out, noticed the next morning, because it was dark, that tree had crushed a part of our fence. It demolished our trampoline. I mean, it left hundreds of sticks and branches scattered across the yard. There was even a large limb that when it snapped off the tree, either when the thing hit and it kind of like that force, you know, just kind of like a nunchuck, just kind of flipped that thing, drove it straight through the seat of my riding lawnmower. Such power. But it was chaos. You know, and worse, I had to wait on the insurance adjuster, which seemed like it was an eternity. And I'm telling you, waiting on that guy, that'll test your sanctification. You know, he canceled, I think, two different appointments. And when he finally did show, and that was after another rescheduling, it took like another week, you know, to be able to get the ball, you know, rolling. And then there's the waiting on the getting the funds deposited. So meanwhile, this huge fallen tree was keeping me from putting down some grass seed I needed to put down in this area, and kept me from fixing the fence, you know, even making our backyard look halfway decent again. You know, I was becoming that neighbor, you know, the one whose yard looks like they've just kind of given up on life. You know, it's the kind of neighbor that makes you think, remember that you might be a redneck if, we'll see, let's, you might be a redneck if your dad tells you to go start the car and you have to mow the grass to find it. You know, that's what I was afraid was going to happen if I couldn't get on this thing. You know, I've got a neighbor, and, you know, bless her heart, she's kind of become one of those neighbors. And sometimes those are difficult. You know, it's easy to kind of quickly jump to judging. I got to be careful not to do that. There's surely a reason. But, I mean, there's been a couple of years now where it's become like one of those, you might be a redneck if your dad tells you to go start the car, and you got to mow the grass to find it. God, there you go. There's a waiting right there. You know, today's podcast is about waiting. And even that frustration, God is doing something in her life. He's doing something in my life in these difficult situations. And here's the thing. You know, even though I was waiting for this adjuster, I wasn't doing nothing in the waiting. I started picking up the small branches, and there were, I mean, hundreds, if not thousands. I priced out fencing. I mowed around the tree, which, by the way, was like the ultimate act of landscaping patience. Wow, there was just so much stuff down around this. You know, I even carved out a little path going back into the woods behind our house so I could start stacking the logs, you know, once I had the green light from the adjuster. And, you know, the biggest stuff had to stay in place for him to get there. But that didn't mean that I couldn't prepare. You know, and once he did sign off on the amount, you know, even though we had a big deductible, you know, I was ready to get the chainsaw and get to work. You know, I had to make sure I had everything ready. The chainsaw was working. It was oiled up, gassed up, tightened up, sharpened up, all that stuff. So the waiting wasn't idle. You know, it was intentional. We can look at something and sometimes think, you know, I want to get at it. I want to get to this. But there's things you need to be doing to prepare so that when you do get that green light, you're ready to go. So let's kind of start this, again, talking about that the waiting isn't idle. It really is intentional. And sometimes waiting looks a lot like work. So we're going to start off today's story. It's something that I was writing, I was putting in this new Unleash book that my buddy Kevin and I are working on. And you're going to be hearing more from him, you know, in the not too distant future. But in the book, I was writing this at the end, and I said, you know, there's a couple, they're a younger couple. They had just moved into their new home. You know, the house had good bones, right? Good structure, frame. It's lots of potential, but it needs serious work. You know, it's got outdated older bathrooms, the carpet is stained, you know, the paint is peeling, you know, the gutters. They really need to be replaced because they've been, you know, leaking and some are bent a little bit and it's kind of going down the side of the house and getting to the foundation. There's some work that really has to be done. There are some things that are vital. And then there are some things that are optional. And the wife had a real gift for beauty and to the longing that she wants to make this house finally feel like a home. And her husband wanted that, you know, for her too. You know, and when she came to him, she was, you know, hopeful and excited. And, you know, she's like, hey, let's just take out a, you know, like a $60,000 loan. Let's just kind of do all this stuff. And let's just make this house our own right now. Well, you know, they're both working. They're on a budget already. And he wasn't feeling a real peace about this. So he wasn't kind of giving her a clear answer. And I think, you know, sometimes we can take things like, well, let's just take it to God. It's kind of like a pause button. Sometimes if our spouse gets ahead of where we feel good about doing it. And he was trying not to do that. He was really wanting to take it to God and really hear her heart. And she was frustrated. She's, you know, like I said, feeling hurt. And eventually, you know, after a few tense days, she finally broke. You know, she admitted why it had mattered so much to her. And it was because she had grown up in filth and chaos. Her childhood was surrounded by cockroaches, dog feces, you know, the smell and cat urine and, you know, that ammonia smell and a lot of emotional instability, a broken home, just some craziness. And now her need for cleanliness, safety, security, you know, her almost obsessive tidiness, it wasn't about vanity. It was about survival for her. It was about silencing the shame of the past. You know, having a beautiful home was more than a project. For her, it's a picture of healing. And he saw her. You know, he wanted to give her everything. He really did. Loved her to the moon and back. But he just couldn't do it at the cost of peace. And he knew that doing an immediate, sure, you know, let's just immediately push this through, whatever it takes, might make her feel better for the moment. It wasn't going to bring him peace. And he knew down the road, if they moved too quickly, it was going to be something that they would regret and there wouldn't be any peace. So you can't just, you know, do these things at the cost of obedience. You really have to take them to the Father. So they came together. You know, she finally agreed, you know, with kind of gnashing of teeth and kicking and punching and all that. Not really, but they came together and they prayed and they both decided, let's really surrender this to God. God, what do you want? You know what we want. You know our story. And I think sometimes for the woman's story in this was very difficult because at this point she's like, God, you know my story. Don't you want this for me? And then the anger gets shifted to the husband. Well, don't you want this for me? So they took it to God. They prayed. And they really did surrender this, and then they planned. Because waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. It means trusting God while taking the next wise step. It means obeying even when the emotion says rush. They didn't just wait. Now get this. They worshiped through the waiting because obedience is worship. God wants us to worship Him. God, does He want our good deeds and to please Him? Well, yeah, but what does He want more than that? He wants us to trust Him, because you can't have love unless you have trust. So bringing this kind of back, you know, every warrior that God has used, when you go back to Scripture, they went through a season of waiting. David was a teenage shepherd when God chose him to be the king. But instead of going straight to the throne, no, he went back to the pasture. He spent years serving a jealous king who even tried to kill him. You know, his waiting season taught him how to lead with humility, which that is so important. Humility is something that is so vital. I was at a small get-together of about 15 men in Indianapolis the other night, and it was being hosted. If you remember, Jack Kent, the quarterback, his son Jeff Kent, was also an NFL quarterback, and he was talking about, you know, how humility played a massive role in his life. You know, coming through high school and college and, you know, being the cream of the crop and then getting to the NFL where the game is much faster and much more difficult, and it humbles you. But you have to be humbled to become a good teammate. So David, you know, his waiting season taught him how to lead with humility and to fully rely on God's timing, not what he wanted. You know, you've got Joseph. You know, he had those powerful dreams, right, as a teenager, and that would show him that one day he would lead. But his own brothers even sold him into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into a prison. He was forgotten for years. Now, get that. Now, we're not talking about something we want. We have to wait a week, like for the adjuster to come or, you know, a loan to go through or whatever. He was forgotten for years. But it was in the waiting that his character was forged and his leadership was tested. That is so important. Like James 1 talks about becoming mature and complete, so we're not lacking in anything. That's the forging. What about Moses? You know, Moses was born to be a deliverer. What's that? What was the Ten Commandments? What was his name? Yul Brynner, whatever. Moses. Just a minute. I've got a few more Moseses. But, you know, in that, you know, the story of Moses, you know, after he kills an Egyptian in anger, he runs to the wilderness. So he's got to spend 40 years tending sheep in obscurity before God calls him, you know, from the burning bush. You know, the desert was where God transformed Moses from being impulsive to becoming obedient, humble, surrendered. You know, even Jesus, the Son of God, spent 30 years in quiet preparation. He worked as a carpenter. He was walking in obedience. He was getting into people's lives, building trust, waiting until the Father said, now. You know, his ministry only lasted 3 years, but it changed everything for eternity. So waiting doesn't mean that God forgot about you. What it means is he's forging you. God isn't just preparing your path. He's preparing you for it. You know, there's it was a Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it. I think it's chapter 2. He talks about, you know, though it linger, to wait for it. It will certainly come and it will not delay. Waiting is where false strength gets stripped apart, right? It's where identity is redefined. It's where it's forged. It's where trust becomes deeper, deepened. It's where you learn that the who comes before the what. Now, we can be all about the what, but when God wants us to discover it is the who is in control, that's a refining process. You know, maybe right now you're waiting for, maybe it's a new job, a changing of a job. You're looking for healing. And I've got a couple of buddies out there, close friends of mine, that just revealed to me this week that they've got some medical issues, which they're not sure, you know, what direction it's going to go, what's going to happen. And so they're asking God to heal them. You know, and sometimes the healing isn't just in healing that thing. you know, back in January when I hurt my back and I went to Florida and had to lead a men's retreat, or got to lead a men's retreat, I should say, for several days. But I say had to because I was in such pain. And we prayed for my healing before I left, and it got worse. And when I got back, you know, Stacy was like, why didn't God heal you? I said, well, I think he did. There's a couple of things he did. He made me rely on other strength more than my own, and he also caused me to be more dependent upon my Father to get me through and to lean onto him and not my own gifts or abilities in speaking or storytelling or whatever. So there was a healing, something that I needed deeper than that physical thing. You know, maybe right now you're waiting for clarity. You know, you're going, God, how do I know? Give me that thing that lets me know this is you, not my own desires or what somebody else says I should want or desire. I need clarity from you. You know, God has a way of speaking. And I know that when my wife and I will take something before God, there's a certain way that we have watched together that God speaks to us. And so we ask him, God, show us that so that we know it's you. God is a personal God. He knows your story. He knows how to speak to with clarity to you. Maybe right now you're waiting for a spouse. You know, it's been a long time in the waiting, and you want to have that companionship in your wife or your husband. And God says, I know the plans that I have for you. It comes back down, do we trust his timing and that he wants what's best for us? You know, maybe you're waiting right now for justice. You've seen an injustice happen, and you're waiting for God's justice. You're going, God, where are you? Do you not get what just happened here? Yeah, he does. But remember, he might be working on that person and their situation, but he's also working on you. Do you trust what he's going to do with this rather than you feeling like you need to be the one to get justice? You know, maybe you've tried to force things, but what if God's delay is really his mercy? What if he's saying, I'm not holding out on you. I'm holding you together so that you don't crumble, you know, under what's coming, right? So trust the forging, trust the Father, and obey in the tension, in the waiting. It's like a blacksmith, you know, heating steel. That forge is where fire meets resistance. Like we always talk about here, we are the resistance. This is about a refining. It's where the brittle becomes strong. But in that heat, the blade has to be held. That's where it's shaped. That's where it's struck. It's not easy. It's not fast. But it's how a weapon is born. And that's the tension that many of us are in. I mean, a lot, right? You know, the fire of unmet desire, the hammer of the pressure that we're under that feels like we just keep getting hit in the same place. I remember one time Stacy asking me, why does God seem to keep allowing those arrows to hit me in the same place? And I said, it's because you're not healed yet. And he's trying to get your attention to focus on that, to come to bring it to him. And, you know, sometimes the waiting can feel like punishment. But it's actually proof that you're being forged. You're not forgotten. The promises of God, he will stick closer than a brother. You're not forgotten. He's forging you right now. Allow him to do what he needs to do. He knows better. You know, and if for a lot of guys out there that maybe you guys like movies, and if you need a reminder of maybe kind of what the waiting process produces, think about William Wallace from Braveheart, one of my favorite movies. You know, after his father and brother are killed, you know, the young Wallace, he wants to rise up and go fight, but he can't yet. He's not fully developed. He's not strong enough. He hasn't learned how to wield the sword or use wisdom yet. So he has to wait. He's mentored, right? You remember that? I think it was an uncle that comes and helps. He takes him away and raises him and trains him. And that's important. He has to be trained. He has to grow in wisdom. He has to grow in strength. He has to grow in clarity, making the right decisions at the right time. And that long, quiet preparation is what transforms him from being a vengeful, you know, young boy into the leader that Scotland needed. You know, without the waiting, there would be no warrior. There would be no freedom. No freedom. There would be no roar, that roar of freedom that moved all of us when we saw that movie. And the same goes for you. You know, maybe you feel like the fight is overdue, but God's still forging the warrior inside of you. So let's take this deeper as we kind of start to wrap up here. Why is it that surrender is so difficult? You know, maybe it's because we're invested so much, like in our time, you know, with our emotions, maybe even our reputation or our money or whatever. Maybe it's because what we're carrying feels like it's tied to our identity. You know, maybe it's because we're under pressure from our spouse, from our boss, maybe our kids, even the church. And that weight, that, you know, W-E-I-G-H-T, that weight can feel so heavy and so crushing. And the waiting becomes even heavier when you're not just waiting on an outcome, you're waiting on peace. And surrendering the outcome can feel like surrendering control. But here's the truth. When you surrender, you don't lose control. You align with God's will. You make room for the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in you. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You trade anxiety for trust. You're trading your urgency for obedience. Remember how we talked about obedience is worship. You're trading fear for formation. You are being forged. And even in the creating, you know, this podcast every week, there's things I have to surrender. You know, when I get down to this point, you know, I'm always like, man, do I mention, you know, we need your prayers. We have things that are always happening, those storms and things that we have to be able to meet. This is what we do full time, you know, speaking to men, coaching men, doing the podcast. When I say we, I say that because my wife is in this with me. And she does have a great need for security. She needs to know that not only myself, but God is taking care of her needs. And, you know, I wrestle, you know, when I'm asking for prayer, and especially when I mention anything about financial support. You know, I don't want to be one of those guys, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. It's uncomfortable. But I had one guy come to me one time. He says, why do you struggle with that? And I was silent. He goes, I think it's pride. Because we're supposed to take those needs to God. And I think I wrestle with how to say it in a way that honors God. I feel like I'm not saying something that's going to be manipulative or laying shame or something out. But I've had to learn again and again that trusting God means letting go of how I think things should be said, how they should work, and to rest in how He moves. So, yeah, there's a humbling. You know, when I say that to you guys, I put it out there. It is humbling, and I need to be humbled. And God, I do thank you for it. All right, so bringing back to this message, you know, God, I want to trust you, right? This is what we're saying here. Even when I can't see how this will work out. And here's what I'm carrying, and here's what I'm surrendering. So if you need to hit the pause button, you know, I don't know if you're driving, you want to pull over, maybe you're listening to it at home while you're working out, whatever, sit down on the workout bench, just kind of look down so no one's paying attention, put your headphones a little tighter to your ears, and I want you to sit with what I just said. You know, I want to let your honesty lead you into healing, because what you surrender, God can finally steer. You know, when we stop trying to grip the wheel and let Him take control, movement begins. Remember, you don't leave it in neutral. You're still doing something, but that direction that you're going to go and the big leaps and flooring it, that comes in God's timing. You know, it doesn't come through manipulation. Because giving it to God and watching Him when He said moves, when that movement begins, now you've got the green light. Now you know, hey, it's time. And you can do it with, you found your why. You can do it with fervor, with joy, with courage, with drivenness, not anxiety, not fear, not worry, not doubt, not shame, but real direction, divine direction. I mean, like we're talking precise, right? Because it's rooted in trust. You're trusting that when God gives you that green light, you know it's from Him, and it's like, let's do this. So here's that prompt again. I want to go back, and I want you to sit with this, and here's what I want you to say to God. God, I want to trust you, even when I can't see how this will work out. God, here's what I'm carrying, and here's what I'm surrendering to you right now. Does God want us broken? Absolutely, He wants us broken. Does He want us to stay broken? Absolutely not. And that brokenness, when we come to God, when we surrender everything that we have, when a breaking, it's like a seed, right? That seed has to break in order for it to grow, come out of the shell. And when it hits the sunlight, it takes off. We have some hostas planted in front of our house, and there were some leaves that were covering them a few weeks ago from the wintertime that I hadn't raked out. I raked those things off the top of those hostas, and I mean, those things got massive in a hurry. That's the kind of growth that God can do in your life when you surrender, when you clean out the old stuff and you invite the new and you give it to God and you say, I am exposing this to your son. Take this, grow it. God, take it from me. And again, when the weight lifts, the wheel shifts. Waiting isn't weakness. It's training for trust. It's like God's gym, right? For the soul. You're not sidelined. You're being strengthened for the moment that he says, go. Guys, if this, you know, episode encouraged you, you know it can encourage somebody else, you know, man, pass it on. You know, share it with them. You know, give us a like, subscribe so you always know what's going on here, and leave us a review too. We want to know what we can be doing better. I can be doing better. And if you'd like to support what we're doing, man, you can, for both men and women, you can reach out to the Unleashed Men, unleashed.men website. Go to the About Us tab and you can click donate. And I know there were a couple guys in the last few weeks that gave us a gift, and I again want to say thank you. It is really moving things forward and allowing us to keep doing what God has said and when he says go. Every gift helps us disciple the next man or woman who's ready to say, here I am, Lord, send me. So let me encourage you. God hasn't forgotten you. He's forming you. He knows your story. He has a plan. And because you have Christ within you, you absolutely have what it takes. Now, go live unleashed. We'll see you next time.